Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. The man that I have on today has taught me so much, not just about the United Nations and our education system, but really about everything. I'm really honored to have Alex Newman back on the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much, Mel.
Thank you. You have been out there on the front lines, and I just read today that California schools are put $750 million into transforming their public education. Of course, as you read it, you realize it's SEL, social emotional learning. You have been on the front lines probably for a decade warning people about this. And now it is becoming basically all the education in California will be that. Can you explain to my audience, because they use such different language that doesn't really explain what it is, what that is and what that entails in terms of education?
Sure. Thank you, Mel. And so the first thing to understand is that SEL has really nothing to do with education in the traditional sense. Nobody who thinks of education in a normal way would understand SEL, because it's not about education. It's actually a highly advanced form of psychological manipulation aimed at giving children particular attitudes, values, and beliefs. That's what people need to understand here. They're moving away from academic goals, and they're moving toward what they call the affective domain. How do you feel about certain things? And so the goal of SEL is to really condition. And again, we're not talking about education. We're talking about behavioral conditioning here. So when children hear certain key words, certain stimuli, they're supposed to respond in a manner that has been conditioned into them. And so I can give you some examples, right? They come up with ideas like, we need the children to be empathetic. We want them to have empathy. And so, well, what does empathy mean? It means supporting abortion. It means supporting open borders. It means supporting the destruction of your own country because your country is supposedly built on white supremacy. So that's what empathy means. And so then they go through a very advanced process of manipulating these children into getting them to feel the desired way about these issues. So when they hear the word abortion, they're supposed to think, oh, social justice. Oh, making sure that kids aren't born into the world poor and unwanted, things like this. Now, it actually goes to a whole new level, Mel. When I first started digging into this, there was not one single critical article about SEL. So I really was starting from scratch. There wasn't much to go on. So I went to CASEL, the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning. This is kind of the main hub for SEL. It's funded by Bill Gates of Hell, et cetera. And they used to have, after I exposed it, they took it down, but they used to have a history page. And the first thing on the history page was the idea for social emotional learning actually originated at the Fetzer Institute. So I look up the Fetzer Institute. Turns out it's founded by a New Age occultist weirdo who was communicating with spirits, a disciple of Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, for the purpose of mainstreaming this one world spirituality, really this one world religious system that would merge with the one world educational, one world governmental, one world economic system. So that's what they're doing. The UNESCO has a whole institute that is dedicated to getting SEL in classrooms around the world. And I encourage people to go visit their website before they scrub it, because they'll tell you in very plain English, they're working on one world spirituality, and SEL is the vehicle being used to pump this into the minds, hearts, and souls of your children.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really disturbing, because what I've uncovered as well, and I know you have, is that the Biden administration is putting a tremendous amount of money, effort, and apparently counselors, which of course will be hired under diversity, equity, inclusion, and really have nothing to do with their background or qualifications. They're planning to roll out 60,000 counselors into public schools, K-12, all over the country to address mental health. And when you read into what they're actually saying, they're also talking about medicating children, and having basically replacing parents with mental health counselors. This is in conjunction with Planned Parenthood. What do you make of this? I find this to be incredibly dangerous.
It is incredibly dangerous, Mel. And this has been on the agenda for a long time. They are really turning teachers into glorified babysitters who are the first line for what they call mental health. It's really not mental health. It's psychological manipulation. And I think we need to start with some basic things. There never was a mental health crisis among American young people until recent decades when all this madness started. Kids didn't used to kill themselves. Kids didn't used to bring guns to school and shoot each other. Kids used to bring guns to school and go to the shooting range and do, competitive riflery, right? In my dad's era, it was totally normal, even in New York, to take your rifle to school. It was no big deal. And that's because kids didn't shoot each other. Today, we do have a crisis. They're calling it a mental health crisis. The CDC says something like 60% of our teenage girls are feeling persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. About a third of them are feeling suicidal, and about one in 10 has actually tried to commit suicide just in the last year for which data is available. So we do have a crisis, but it's not a mental health crisis. It's not because these kids are not being pumped full of enough pharmaceutical so-called products that will mess up your brain, scramble your mind, and really turn you into a compliant zombie. That's not the problem. The problem is that these children are being indoctrinated with a worldview, with a belief system that it's from the pit of hell. And so the natural response is, of course, desperation and sadness. And then you put them on these drugs that right on the warning label tell you might cause suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation. It's like throwing gasoline on a dumpster fire. Of course, it's going to explode. Right. So this is first of all, it's obviously a big handout for the big pharmaceutical companies. We can all see that plainly. This is a way of funneling billions of more dollars from the taxpayer into the pockets of people like Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, and these other big wicked companies. But second of all, it's a method for manipulation. The communists figured out a long time ago that mental health was an absolutely brilliant tool for bringing the mind into subjection. And so they start with the premise that if you're not okay with the craziness that's going on, there's something wrong with you, something wrong with your brain. And they want you to think that it's scientific. They want you to think it's medical. They want you to think that there's some chemical imbalance. Absolute baloney. There's no chemical imbalance. This has never been demonstrated anywhere, but these drugs will absolutely give you a chemical imbalance. They actually work by messing with the way the chemicals are functioning in your brain. So you absolutely will get an imbalance after you go on these pharmaceutical products. It's hard to overstate the danger of this, Mel, but they are destroying our children, to just put it in simple terms.
Yeah. And when you have these brains aren't even developed yet, so you're entering drugs into the brains that the brains then will need later. I mean, I've seen people, some people told me that when you go off of some of these drugs, Paxil, Prozac, any of these drugs, that you have a very high risk of getting worse, of becoming psychotic. And it's very hard to get off of them. Some people stay on them forever, which was never the intention of this ever. Something that you bring up a lot, and I want to touch on, because it's a little scary for people to think about, but I've done a lot of work with people that have survived serious, terrible child trafficking, MK Ultra victims that have come out after years after to discuss what happened to them, and especially ones that were used and manipulated well before the age of, say, 10. And to me, I'm watching this, and I think there's a whole nother level of what's intended here, of what they're teaching in schools, the LGBTQ plus, your gender, you know, dysphoria, which is now, you know, fluid gender, all this stuff. There seems to be something bigger than this that's going on the globalist scale. And I wonder what you think of this, because I was looking at a lot of this together and I'm thinking, well, you know, people talk a lot of times about the concentration camps and what happened to the victims. Very little do we hear about that millions of people worked at those camps. And these people are people that have no conscience. They, you know, rape, torture, kill, starve, all this stuff as a job, then would go home to their lives with their kids and their families functioning as people, workers, and go back in the next day and commit terrible evil, banality of evil, as Hannah Arendt would call it, or whatever, but it's just evil. And I look at these kids and I think, is there a bigger picture towards creating kind of enforcers for this globalist governance, one world agenda, to actually have people that are speaking out against it, somewhat like China, go into camps or be re-educated or be treated like that, like the reds and blacks in Mao's China? Part of me thinks that this is to create a force of people that would be willing to do whatever to their fellow man, regardless of morality or conscience, because the state is telling them to.
That's exactly what's happening, Mel. This is the training of an entire generation to love slavery and to be willing to perpetrate atrocities. There's several ways that this happens, but it's so interesting that you started with MK Ultra. There is a direct connection here. Now, Alfred Kinsey, the father of the so-called sexual revolution, this man was one of the most disgusting pieces of human trash that you could ever find anywhere. And he was working with the CIA in MK Ultra. He was doing taxpayer-funded experiments, many of them on children. Also, the Rockefellers were providing a lot of the funding, and they were abusing and sexually torturing children in some of the most horrific ways imaginable. And this is not speculation. If you pick up a copy, and I don't recommend you do it without a barf bag handy, of Alfred Kinsey's book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, you go to tables 31, 32, 33, 34. They actually kept meticulous data on their sexual abuse and torture of children. Some of these were babies as young as a few months old. And without getting too graphic, they were brutally sexually torturing these children. And Kinsey trained this whole army of pedophiles with stopwatches to take measurements. So they would torture these children, and then they would say, wow, the children are screaming hysterically. We're going to call that a climax, and we're going to say that these children expressed a sexual climax. So they came to the conclusion, and you know they didn't truly believe this. You know this was pseudoscience to justify their horrific crimes. But they came to the conclusion that children are sexual from birth because, look, we're torturing these babies and they're having climax. And again, this data is all in his book. Nobody has to take my word for it. Just go look it up. Judith Reisman, Dr. Judith Reisman, really did the bulk of the exposing here. And again, she just went to his data. Right. And so based on this conclusion that babies were sexual from birth, that children were sexual from birth, they concluded we need to start giving them as much sex education as we can, as raunchy as we can, as early as we can. And so some of his cohorts set up the Sex Education and Information Council of the United States called SECUS. Today it's called SECUS for Sex Ed for Social Change. And they little by little went as far as they could with each generation. Now we're at the point where they are sexualizing kids in pre-kindergarten, in kindergarten. And this all has a much more sinister purpose than just sexualizing the kids, as if that wasn't sinister enough, right? And actually, there were some early experiments about 100 years ago. Georgi Lukács, who went on to go help found the Frankfurt School during the brief communist regime in Hungary, the Béla Kun regime, he came to the idea that one of the ways to break down the old moral order would be to sexualize the kids. And so he was doing these disgusting puppet shows in front of these little tiny babies. I mean, like kindergarten kids trying to break down their moral inhibitions, break down their sexual inhibitions, because his conclusion was if we can break those down when they're young, they'll have so-called sexual freedom. And the goal always was, and they said so explicitly, was to break down the family. Why? Well, for the same reason that Karl Marx wanted to break down the family. The family is the transmission belt for values, for culture, for civilization, for religion, for all of the things that would defend a society from total tyranny. And so they said, if we can interrupt that process, if we can have the government take over those duties and then instill the values we want in the children, then we can have a successful revolution. So that was the goal. It's gotten to the point now where so-called sex education is unrecognizable from even when we were kids.
Right.
It's that horrific. And the ulterior motive is absolutely to break down the old moral order, break down children's respect for parents. They also combine that with something that they call values clarification. And they actually started rolling this out in the 60s in America. It's very, very effective. Some of the people who developed this brag that in 1 hour they could undo everything that parents had tried to instill in their kids in 15 years. And I'll explain to you briefly how it works, because I remember they did it to me. The UN says it should be done on every child in the world. So they tell you, you're on a ship and your ship is sinking. And, 11 of you just jumped off into the life raft, but there's only space for 10. And so then they give you a little bit of data about each of the 11 people. You know, one is a doctor, one is a nurse, one is a teacher, one's an engineer, one is a lawyer. And then the question is, which one of these people are you going to murder for the greater good so that all the rest of you can survive? Now, what happens in the mind of a child is, mom and daddy said we should never murder somebody. They said the Ten Commandments and God forbid that. And, that pastor, he said in church that we shouldn't murder people. Obviously, they're all stupid. They never considered this kind of situation where we might have to murder somebody for the greater good. And so in one instant, it shatters the child's respect for his or her parents. It shatters the child's previous moral compass, their previous worldview, and it replaces it with situational or relative morality. So ethics depend on what situation you're in. And that's how you get somebody who can run ovens at a concentration camp and murder people in huge numbers. It's for the greater good. These people are Untermenschen. Their lives are not worth living, right? And of course, this requires doing something horrific in the minds of children. And today they have institutionalized this. They have systematized it. A lot of it is actually happening on the devices. The kids are in class doing school on a device. And so it's capturing the data. It's processing it through algorithms. It's determining what sort of interventions are needed. I know it sounds like a bad nightmare, but it's happening now.
Right, exactly. And I believe that I talked to a woman that survived and came to America, but Mao's revolution in 49. And she said that they took down pictures of the parents in the homes, and the only picture that they could have was Mao, and that they were all taught a song about Mao being more important than their parents and all of this. And I keep saying to people, they're doing this more and more. They're having people or children believe that the state is the one that loves them. Because I'm saying a lot of the what they're teaching right now, especially the transgender, gender fluid, by hiding it from parents, is they're saying, you know, God messed up. You know, you're not what God put out. Your parents sided with God, so they betrayed you. But we, the state, will come in and we'll take care of you. We won't tell your parents. We'll help you transition, all of this stuff. And it's really coming to a place where parents, and they even say it, Biden says it, that press secretary says it, his head of education said it last week in a tweet that got a lot of ratioed hate. But basically, your children do not belong to you. And I look back to Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village, and I'm thinking they're not even kidding. And people still kind of look at this like that's not possible. But it did happen in Mao's China. And I believe it happened in Hitler's Germany because he talked about the textbooks. So where are we now in actually turning the tide here? Because it appears that they are on full steam ahead. They're putting billions of dollars, not millions, billions of dollars into indoctrinating children to believe that the state is actually their parent. And that, like Eichmann said, that he didn't regret it because he was a good soldier and he did what he did for his flag and his Fuhrer. And I really fear that there's that's the bigger picture here than just the trans agenda and all of that.
That's absolutely what's happening, Mel. And we now have a whole generation of children who've been alienated from their parents.
Right.
I traveled this country from coast to coast speaking on education, and I can't count anymore the number of parents who just came up to me and broke down crying. We lost our child. Our child won't talk to us anymore. They believe that we're fascist because we like Trump, or they believe that we're white supremacist because we're Republican. They believe that we're homophobic because we don't accept that homosexuality is good or wholesome. They believe that we're transphobic because we don't accept new pronouns. And then you go into Target and they've now got little T-shirts for kids that say, Satan respects your pronouns. So this is diabolical. It's an agenda from hell. And it is very specifically designed at breaking down the old system and turning our children into revolutionaries. You look at the data that is coming out now, and the data paints a very, very clear picture. Well over 80% of Christian children who go through 12 years of government school are leaving the church. They are rejecting their parents. They're actually looking at their parents as evil. They're being taught that their parents are the reason for global warming, that their parents are the reason that for white supremacy, that every problem that ever happened to somebody who is of non-European origin is due to your parents, because they were white supremacist, colonist, white privilege, whatever. So these are the same tactics that Adolf Hitler used. These are the same tactics that Chairman Mao used. These are the same tactics that Pol Pot used before he slaughtered about half of the population of Cambodia. So we've seen this movie before, and anybody who thinks it's going to end any differently in America is simply not paying attention. If this is not stopped, it will end in exactly the same way. Massive levels of bloodshed, a total breakdown of civilization, and a horror show beyond anything that your average American today can even begin to imagine.
Yeah, and I really can't believe anymore that people keep saying, well, it wouldn't happen here, it can't happen in America. We're a very young country. I don't know why anyone would think that. China's thousands of years old. It happened there. You know, I just don't understand. But listen, we're at a place, I mean, you are all over the country. You were just in Miami with me, and I have to tell you, there's a lot of people, but I don't quite think enough people really understand the precipice of which we are at in terms of the danger to our country. And I think a lot of people sit back and are sitting it out, or they're too busy, or they think they're too busy, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that we are in very dangerous times right now. And now we have this open border, which again, people look at it in one way. I look at it that a lot of children are disappearing into the interior, which is horrifying. But also a lot of schools are being inundated with children that are illiterate in their own language, don't speak English and all of that. And yet, until it affects people, we're just seeing people in Chicago or New York wake up and be like, this isn't okay. It's been going on all over the country for years now, but certainly since Biden got into office. How much does what's happening at our border affect our children?
It's going to affect our children in a hugely significant way. Now, there's one reason that the government school establishment, which is a $1 trillion a year machine, yeah, loves this. Families are fleeing the government school system by the millions. And their budgets in virtually every state are directly tied to the number of butts they have in those seats. They need butts in those seats, or they're going to get massive budget cuts. And it's happening across the country. They're having to shut down schools, sell off real estate. So they think, ooh, more money, right? It's just all these kids, they're looking at them with a big dollar sign on top of their head. They're not thinking about the long-term consequences. Now, you touched on something critical. A lot of these kids are disappearing into sex trafficking and even slave labor. This is happening on a massive scale. The Biden administration is complicit, as whistleblowers have explained, and I know you've exposed this on your show.
Yeah.
Hugely significant. And then there's the military component. Right. We know now that the Biden crime family, and we need to get out of the idea that this is just crime. This is treason. They were receiving millions of dollars from the most murderous dictatorship in human history, the regime ruling communist China. They now have deployed multiple battalions of special operations forces across that open border. We've got jihadists flooding across. We've got Venezuelan special forces flooding across. We've got Cuban intelligence operatives flooding across that border. We've got all sorts of hostile operators coming across that border with clear instructions. Wait in place until you're activated. At that point, this is the power station you're going to sabotage. This is the water system you're going to sabotage. Michael Yon just put it out on Twitter. He's actually down there following all this. He said, folks, this is an invasion. These military-aged men who are pouring across the border by the millions, they will be armed, they will be uniformed, and they will be told that they can take your life and your property. So what's happening here is a military invasion. That's not to say that every poor person coming across the border is necessarily part of this. There's a big mix of people. But in the mix of poor and hungry people who are just trying to find a better job, trying to get a better life, are military operators, intelligence operators, terrorist operators who are coming here for the purpose of destroying our country. And they're doing it with the full support of the federal government, which is now waging war on the United States of America and our Constitution.
Yeah, it's really shocking that that it's come this far. But just to reiterate, you've taught me so much about the United Nations and their part in this. And this week's Bilderberg, they keep having their big meetings at all their other groups, and where they're unelected, they're really just multinational corporations and the banks getting together to decide what's going to be for the rest of us. But the United Nations is very involved in all of this. What is their part in terms of, you've broken down on the show even the global curriculum and how much that is influencing this? How much is the United Nations involved? I personally think that it not only should it be abolished and audited and all of that, but I think they've committed more crimes than most people can imagine. What is the United Nations part in this? Because I think the American people, if they understood, would demand that United Nations be dismantled and kicked out of our country.
No question about it. Liberals, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, everybody, if they knew what the real purpose of the UN was, would demand that this thing be pushed off into the sea and all of the representatives sent back home to their countries. Fortunately, there has been a bill introduced to do that in almost every Congress for the last few decades, the American Sovereignty Restoration Act, a great bill. But the UN, I think, best needs to be seen as the mechanism, right? It is the global government in waiting. It's already got all of the elements of a global government. They just haven't officially made the announcement, although they're getting very close. When you think of a government, you think of a few critical attributes, right? You think of law enforcement powers. The UN's got the UN COPS program. They've got their own police force, the UN police, and they have a program where they're bringing national police chiefs from every nation together to give them instructions. In fact, they have just recently deployed investigators to investigate our local police departments to determine whether they're complying with international standards. Our police departments work for our local communities, not for Joe Biden and not for the United Nations. They've got military forces that are deployed all over the world right now. They're raping children all over the world right now with total impunity. They cannot be prosecuted unless the UN lifts their immunity, which they almost never do. Instead, they go after the whistleblowers rather than the child rapists. Right. And this has been going on for many decades. They've got a court system. They've got the International Criminal Court, which is a joke, a kangaroo court, doesn't respect any of the rights that we know as Americans. Prosecutors work. I mean, it's just a giant fraud. You've got the International Court of Justice. So you've got all these international judiciary bodies. You've got International Environmental Program called the UN Environment Program. You've got the World Health Organization serving as the Global Ministry of Health. You've got UNESCO, which, of course, is the UN Education Agency. So all the elements that we typically associate with a totalitarian government that micromanages every part of your life, the UN's already got them in place. So what's going on now is we're watching the controlled demolition of our country so that the UN can then step in and kind of fulfill the role that the United States used to hold, kind of the dominant power on the planet, with the communist Chinese now dominating policymaking at the UN.
Right.
The UN is not the goal in and of itself. The UN is a tool. It's a mechanism of these wicked people and behind them, the powers and principalities to enslave humanity under a globalist antichrist kind of system. Now, whether they'll succeed or how long it might take for them to make progress remains to be seen, but they're moving very, very rapidly right now.
Yeah, and a lot of people are very confused about the geopolitical situation. They're seeing Russia and China and the BRICS nations kind of fighting at the very top against the UK, EU, US, NATO crew at the very top level. But people are also misunderstanding. I think some people out there think if China and Russia succeed, that they're going to somehow liberate us, which is not the case at all. And I keep trying to correct people and saying, no, they're not thinking about us either. Like that's not what they're doing. But can you just explain, because I learned a lot of this through you, and I suggest people go back and look at some of Alex's UN shows that he's done on this. China is very much at the top of both the UN and the World Health Organization, correct?
It is. And, you know, China was really created by the same subversive globalists who are right now destroying our country. If you look back at the history, and there's an incredible book on the betrayal of the free Chinese to the communist Chinese. It's called Again, May God Forgive Us, written by Robert Welch. Extraordinary book. And what he explains is that subversives at the highest levels of our government betrayed our allies, the free Chinese, into the hands of the communists. And they did so very deliberately and very methodically. Right. The leader of the Free Chinese, Chiang Kai-shek, fought side by side with Americans. He lost huge numbers of his own men in the fight against the Japanese. In fact, my grandpa was over there fighting against the Japanese alongside the Free Chinese. And then subversives within our own government, people like George Marshall, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, people like Harry Dexter White, they betrayed these Free Chinese. In fact, they put an arms embargo on them. So we couldn't even give them weapons anymore while they're fighting for their freedom against the commies who were being backed by Stalin, who, of course, was armed and trained and funded by the United States government itself. So we betrayed the Chinese into communism. Similar thing happened over in the Soviet Union, right? The Bolshevik Revolution was actually funded by Wall Street. One of America's most important historians did a wonderful book on this called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, showing that Wall Street mega bankers funded the Bolsheviks, including Leon Trotsky, including Vladimir Lenin. They wanted a communist revolution there. And so when you think of Russia and China, people need to realize they are not going to protect us from the globalists. They are wholly owned subsidiaries of the satanic forces that want to enslave humanity. And that continues to be very obvious today to anybody who's willing to look. George Soros said just some years ago that communist China should own the new world order, kind of like the United States used to own the old world. You've got David Rockefeller. I mean, this guy in the 1970s said what happened under Chairman Mao was the most successful experiment in human history. It slaughtered, you know, tens of millions of people by then. And so there's a book behind me by one of the most important defectors from the Soviet Union. His name was Anatoly Golitsyn, and he was in Department D. He warned there was going to be a fake collapse of communism in the Soviet Union. The communists would remain in power, but they would change their names, change their titles. So we have a former head of the KGB becomes the new president on a new political party. You've got all the old Communist Party bosses becoming oligarchs, right? Selling each other and themselves state assets for pennies on the dollar. So it's all the same people who held power before. Notice when the Nazis fell, we hung the war criminals. When communism fell, when it allegedly fell, they all just rebranded themselves and continue to exercise and wield power. And so what this whistleblower explained, Anatoly Golitsyn, and he tried to explain this to our government, but the clowns, for whatever reason, did not listen, was that they were going to plan a fake collapse of the Soviet Union, that the communists in China and the communists in Russia were working together. And at the culmination of all this, there would be what he called a second October revolution, where the communists in China and the communists in Russia, working together with their allies around the world, would bring the entire planet, all of humanity, under a totalitarian one world government. And what people don't understand is that our government, the U.S. government, the Biden administration, is fully involved in this happening right now. All that stands in between that and freedom is the American people, no longer the U.S. government. It's just the American people and divine providence. So, folks, pay attention. Putin and Xi are not going to save you. In fact, they want to enslave you just as bad as their globalist buddies in Washington, D.C. and London.
Right on. And so let's get to the next step. So lots of people out there either don't know, don't care, feel helpless, or, you know, I'm sure you know about the Bezmenov interview with G. Edward Griffin. Everyone, I put it on my website. Everyone should just go watch that if they don't understand what's going on here. But demoralize, dehumanize, normalize. We're certainly past the normalize phase of this insanity. So you do a lot of stuff out there. You go speak everywhere that you basically can to explain to people what's going on, but also to give solutions. And I think right now we're at a place where the American people, at least, and I think on both sides, if there are sides, because I don't think there are, I think it's a giant uniparty that has no power, like you just explained. They're really controlled by an oligarchy class that is globalist and has already sold us out. What is the advice that you're giving? You're on the road all the time to people to empower them to take back their country, their individual liberty, their individual sovereignty that has all been shredded. And we're standing here right now. What's so disturbing is we just saw this Durham document come out, which obviously they've known about from the beginning. Devin Nunes was out there telling us all this stuff 5 years ago when they tried to destroy him one after another. You talked about it for years. So now we have the proof again, demoralize, dehumanize, normalize, is that most people feel like nothing's going to happen. And therefore the controlled corporate media then turns around and says, well, nothing happened then. And we are in a serious, tough spot, and it's not left or right. It's really right now you're either for America and the survival of America or you're not. So what are you saying out there to people to kind of motivate them to take back their country?
Yeah, first of all, it's essential. You know, we have to be honest. I'm so glad you brought up the Bezmenov interview. We're actually doing a documentary about that. It should probably be released by Christmas. It's going to be amazing. And it's so important for people to watch that. You know, he really lays out the strategy, the demoralization. And you'll recognize how we've gone through a lot of that just in recent years, right? They demoralize, then they use a crisis, and then they bring in what he called the new normal, the normalization process. And how many times did we hear that over the last few years? The new normal. But I would also encourage people that this is not set in stone. I think there's a lot of people who just think it's inevitable that these wicked individuals are going to take over the planet. I don't think that's the case. In fact, I believe they can be stopped and they must be stopped. And there are a lot of ways that people can help make that happen. And I say it begins in your own home. If you have children in public schools, take them out and make sure they're getting a good education. That's step one. Whether that be in a homeschool or a good Christian school, make sure they're learning how to read. Make sure they're learning the truth. Make sure they're learning the Bible. Make sure they're learning about our history, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. These are all things that are critically important. Next, be involved in politics, especially right now at the state and local level. If you live in New York, I'm sorry, Mel, or Illinois or Washington or California, maybe the state level is not going to be a viable option. But if you live in a conservative Republican state, there's so much that can be done. And there's so much that is being done. We just banned CBDCs here in Florida. South Carolina just got a new bill introduced to nullify the World Health Organization power grab. Talk to your sheriff. And this works even if you're in a liberal or a Democrat state. Make sure your sheriff understands their oath is to the Constitution of the United States and their state, not to Joe Biden, not to some left-wing legislature. It is to the supreme law of the land, that being the Constitution. And that means their primary job is to defend the rights of their constituents, their lives, their liberties, their property, et cetera, not to willy-nilly enforce decrees from the WHO or Joe Biden or even your left-wing lawmaker. So a lot can be done in that sense. And I think most importantly, people need to turn back to God. I believe that's how we got into this mess. We abandoned God. We abandoned the truth that he has revealed to us. We're not going to turn this around without a proper restoration of truth and God and the Bible to their proper place as really the foundation of all of it. So pastors should be teaching the whole counsel of God. People should be praying and reading their Bibles and then being involved in whatever way, God has called you. Everybody's got a different part to play in this. You know, Mel does one of the best shows out there. So that's kind of her role. But you listening to us, your role might be, if you have a lot of money, maybe you're going to support folks that are doing that kind of work. If you have a lot of time, maybe you're going to go out and door knock for a good candidate who's running for sheriff or for county commission or for state senate or even for Congress. So all of us have a part to play and all of us need to be doing that. But I suggest it begins in our own homes with our own families and then we work outward from there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I can't afford it or I can't I don't know if I could do it. And then you talk to people like you that actually have looked into and gone and spoken and gotten information and put out information about homeschooling. And it's really not what people think it is. You know, it's not like the ring the bell at 8 a.m. and then, you have to go through a rigorous day and then 3:30. And it actually, I believe that there's a lot of people that are homeschooling community wise. So they're doing it with other people in the community. Can you just explain what actually homeschooling is? Because what I'm reading and, Harvard really puts out a lot of bogus stuff about how bad it is. But if you really look for data, it looks like homeschoolers are actually far more educated, socially, able to interact better, have better futures, better outcomes. So what does that mean for the people out there that are like, I'd love to pull my kid out, but it's just I can't do it because I think it's too overwhelming or something.
Yeah, and that's a response that has been conditioned in us. We've been trained by the system to think that we can't educate our own children, which is ludicrous, right? God entrusted those children to us. There's nobody in the world who loves those children more than we as their parents do. So the idea that we can't teach them ourselves is silly. My friend Sam Sarbo, she kind of corrected me one time. I said homeschooling. She said, it's not homeschooling. It's home education. We got to get out of the idea that we're doing school at home. We're not. School was just a terrible idea from the start. It's run in a way that doesn't make any sense. And I encourage parents, you cannot do worse than a system that was designed to hurt your kids. Right? I mean, you can be the worst teacher in the world and you can't do worse than a system that was clearly engineered to dumb down and harm and enslave your children. You can't do worse than that. Right? It'd be almost impossible.
Right.
You don't have to do school at home. You don't have to ring the bell at 8 and do the things that they're doing in government school. In a few hours, you can teach your children far more than the government would ever do. You can use proper methods so that they'll learn how to read, so that they'll learn how to write, so that they'll learn how to do math. There's never been a better time to homeschool. There's so many resources out there if you don't have the money to make it happen. And I think that's a very small segment of the population. But if you don't have the money to make it happen, there are groups out there that will provide scholarships. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association has a scholarship program. In fact, we do at Public School Exit. And your state homeschool association probably does too. Talk to your church, right? So even like single moms who have to work two jobs, even they can do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. And for the people who think, well, I can't afford it or I can't handle it, you couldn't be more wrong. And you're going to pay either now or later. So better to pay now, make the sacrifice now, and train up good, godly, well-educated children than pay 5 years down the line when they're wanting to kill themselves, chop off body parts, take heroin, things like that. So parents, I can't encourage you strongly enough to take charge here. You know, God put those children in your care for a reason, and you know, take advantage of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Right. And one more thing before I let you go, kind of on a different topic, but you have a vast amount of knowledge about all that's going on. It appears that I don't even know what to call them anymore, that these globalist elitists are pushing towards World War III. They are instigating war everywhere. I think most American people don't realize we are on the in wartime situations all over the world. We still have all these bases all over the world where we're not protecting our own border or our own security here. The thing that I'm a little worried about is if they initiate and continue to push this unbelievable situation in Ukraine and then open up a front in Taiwan, that our children, I think people really have to pay attention, that they're going to have to draft our kids. And I think that, I mean, I'm surprised that there's not a bigger anti-war movement, though I think there is one. It's not like in the past. You go back, I mean, certainly because January 6th, it's not going to be what it was, but you go back and you look at what was going on during Vietnam. There's hundreds of thousands of people marching in DC. There's people very against it. I don't know if people are putting together the World War III scenario and what's actually going to happen to their actual children in America. And I'm curious your take on, you know, that and going forward, and that parents should really understand that if they keep pushing in this direction, you know, their children are going to have to be drafted, God forbid. And I think that we really need to like stand up right now and really be loud that we don't want that.
Absolutely, Mal. And I hope people understand, too, that they are engineering this war for purposes that have nothing to do with the stated intention. This is not about, you know, NATO and Russia's border and Ukraine. This is much bigger than that. Back in the early 1960s, the Council on Foreign Relations had an operative. His name was Lincoln Bloomfield. He was working for the State Department. They commissioned a report from him called "A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations." That was the actual title of his report. And the objective was to figure out how do we get from a world of sovereign nations like we have, or at least we had back then, to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. And his conclusion was very, very simple. We need war or the threat of war to make that possible. And so if you look back at just the last 100 years, makes that very, very clear, right? World War One. Nobody really understands. I mean, we were taught in school that Archduke Ferdinand II was shot in Sarajevo. Yeah, you know, your average American has no idea where Sarajevo is. Your average American has no idea where Austria is. I mean, it's all ridiculous, right? Millions of people had to go into the meat grinder because an archduke was shot in Sarajevo. That doesn't make sense. So what happened after World War One? Well, they came up with the League of Nations, which was intended to become the one world government. Now, our Senate refused to participate in that, and so that went into the dust heap of history. World War II comes along. What did we get? We got the United Nations. We got the International Monetary Fund. We got the World Bank. We got the European Coal and Steel Community, which served as the nucleus for what eventually became the European Economic Community, then the European Community, and ultimately the European Union, which has now completely usurped the sovereignty and the independence of its member states. So World War II was an incredibly effective turbocharging mechanism for globalism. And World War I was too. Even though they failed with the League of Nations, they managed to fundamentally transform society, right? Prior to World War I, the norm was that most American children were educated at home to the extent that there were government schools and the children were going to them. It was really just, you know, a few months out of the year to learn a couple of basic things. World War I changed that. They sent all the men off to go die. They sent the women into the factories because the men were off dying. So the children are then at home alone. Well, don't worry, we'll set up government schools to indoctrinate them all. So that was a turning point in our society. And they hope that a World War III will, first of all, devastate the United States of America as the world's last remaining superpower. And second of all, make people so tired of war. And, you know, when you're watching your family go off to die, when you're having groceries rationed and you can't afford to feed your family, you will do anything to get back to some sense of normalcy. So a nice world war where millions of people die will have people on their knees begging these globalists for solutions. The solution will be, well, hey, let's just disarm all the national militaries of the world. Let's disarm all the people of the world. We'll just concentrate all power and authority in the United Nations, and then we can never have a war again. So this is being engineered. Ukraine, the Koreas, Taiwan, keep your eye on all of them because they are very rapidly pushing us into a world war, and it's not going to be for the reasons that you're told by the fake media.
Exactly. Alex Newman, you are amazing. Can you please tell my audience, first, you have an event coming up in Florida. I have a lot of family and friends in Florida. A lot of them are going towards homeschooling, but it's a great event. And I think you can also get the information online. So if you could tell people about that event, that can go to that event in person. And then please tell everyone where they can find you and follow you. It's very important to follow Alex Newman, I have to tell you, for myself. So if you like me and my show, believe me, I follow everything Alex Newman puts out. He is a prolific writer on everything that we really need to know. So please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, Mel. So the conference this weekend that's coming up is the Florida Parent Educators Association to do an annual homeschool conference. It's a huge deal. I hope people will come out. It's going to be, even if you're not a homeschooler yet, come out and meet homeschoolers. Look at all the options available to you. Learn about the laws that govern homeschooling in this state. You will not regret it. It's a great time. I'll be speaking there. And so will, you know, a couple dozen amazing people who know about these things. So looking forward to that. People can follow my stuff. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. That's S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org, not .com. Somebody stole that from me. And you can get signed up for my weekly newsletter. It's free. Just put your email address in there. I don't sell it to anybody. I'm senior editor at the New American Magazine. People can find us at thenewamerican.com. You can get like a print subscription. Here's our latest issue, Intel's Real Target America. We send out two of these every month. You can also get the daily headlines for free. Just put your email address in there, get the most important news. You can follow me on Rumble. It's Liberty Sentinel is my channel. And then I'm on, it's kind of new, but I'm starting to put more and more stuff there. And then I'm on Twitter, Alex Newman_JOU. And if you're interested in the education stuff, I'm the volunteer executive director of Public School Exit. It's a ministry, a labor of love. We've got some great people. We will help you in any way possible to get children out of public schools. And that's kind of a good roundup. I also do a daily show on Lindell TV that you've been kind enough to join me for, Mel.
Yeah,
and then I do a weekly show on American Media Periscope. So
wow, you are busy and you are really fighting. And you are also a father and a husband and a good man that is out there walking the walk. So thank you so much, Alex Newman. I so appreciate it. You are a big hero of mine and of many other people. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Mel. The feeling is mutual. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Patriot pals, so happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time, so you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel Kay Show because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the Patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins, and protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together. Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country, because again, it's very affordable, and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.